So I just wanted to ask you, like, in terms of, like, Dark Horse's newest books, like, Minty of Fire and Stone, how do you acquire stuff like that in terms of just expanding on certain universes and finding the talent that can really expand on stories that are so big?
Well, I think that we sort of pioneered this particular space with movie-related comics. So particularly with Fire and Stone, we've been working with Fox for since 19... How old are you?
I'm 21.
Yeah, since 1988. Which you think that's a long time ago, but as you'll find out, it goes by really fast.
Yeah.
So, because I was in my 20s when I started the company, and boom, here we are. But anyway, we have a long relationship with Fox, of course, with Aliens. When we first introduced that comic, the way we did it sort of revolutionized the way film comics were done. And we followed that with a series of others. So after years, you need to find new approaches to the material so people, new audiences, will get interested. You weren't even around when the first Alien came up, and it was huge. It sold hundreds of thousands of copies. So we need to figure out ways to get people like you, who are only 21, interested in the book. So Prometheus came out, and its connection, however faint, with Aliens, gave us the opportunity to get people excited. So we decided to build it out into a multi-title event. So far it's worked out really well.
And then next year you have Fight Club 2, so...
Fight Club 2.
So,
were you around for Fight Club 2?
Of course. So when did that come about? That's also a Fox movie.
Well, Scott, it's basically, that's directly through the author. The author. And Scott found out that he was thinking of Scott Alley at our company, found out that he was looking for place to do a sequel in graphic novel format, so basically we just tried to fashion an author he couldn't say no to.
Yeah.
So now here it is. It's going to happen. We're really excited about it.
Yeah, like you said, you started the company a long time ago, and you pioneered how, you know, film books are made. When you started the company, was it a constant effort just to stay in this particular lane where you're not directly competing with people like DC and Marvel?
Well, we didn't try to compete with Marvel or DC. Basically, we started up the company trying to give creators a control to their work. It wasn't the norm in those days, and so we started offering, and while we're not the first company, of course, to offer creator rights, but we're one of the first, if not the first in a real way, to offer creators their Marvel or DC rates while they were doing creator own work. So that was a big deal, because a lot of creators would have liked to moved into their own work, but they couldn't afford it. So we got people like Paul Chadwick and Bob Burton and a variety of people to come and bring their projects over. And then when Frank Miller brought Give Me Liberty and Hard Boiled over to Dark Horse, instead of taking it to Marvel and DC, that was a big deal. And from that point on, it sort of changed the direction of the company as far as our ability to attract top-flight creators.
And what's it like, being at, I know you've been at tons of cons, but what, do you ever get used to it, seeing so many people that, look up to you?
I'm really used to it. I'm really used to it. And it's about my 600th convention, so, I'm used to it.
And in terms of just, your plans for the next few years, is there any,
Great Comics, we've got a bunch of announcements we're going to make very shortly. I'm here closing up some big deals with some really key properties that will, take us to the next level, I think, and we're going to be moving on with life without Star Wars, and so we've been looking for the things to replace that on our schedule. We've actually found three or four things that are going to be very good.
Yeah, and you talk about life after Star Wars, but I think what you guys have done a really good job with, not just with Star Wars, but with Prometheus.
Right.
You guys are able to find talent that expand on these. I think Prometheus was a movie that split a lot of people in half. People liked it or hated it, but general consensus was there were a lot of big ideas.
Right.
And you guys were able to touch on those.
Yeah, I think people either loved or hated the movie, but for me, I really loved the film. One of the secrets to our success with film material is that we don't just do it for
just the name.
just to do it. We have to be really into it. And when we've strayed from that, where we've just picked up something in the past just because it might be good, we just haven't done very well. We need to have the passion for the property. Prometheus, I loved it because we could get into all those questions where you say, wait a minute, that doesn't make any sense. I love the idea to say, this is, figure out how that makes sense. So I think a lot of readers will be looking for some answers, and then that's sort of the fun. And the tie-in with Aliens, I think, is a lot of fun, too.
What do you think is really important for the company to take it to the next level? Of course, you guys are well-established, but
we just got to stay relevant. I mean, as you know, you're a young guy. The things that are hot and important when I was 21, you don't even know what they were. Yeah. You know, so we got to keep paying attention and staying relevant to what the market is and what the culture is at the time. We come to these things, they're not really comic book conventions, they're more like pop culture conventions. So you got to stay in the culture. So you got to play the games, you got to listen to the music, you got to get on the internet, you got to blog, you got to do all that stuff to stay tuned in, you know, to what's going on.
Do you think it's a little harder to stay relevant, considering things like are like flashes in the pants now, like stuff can be hot right now, and then a week later it's like,
well,
people forgot about
it. I think things go by faster than they used to, but, you know, look, it's all, everybody's going to be interested in something. It takes every other company the same amount of time to try and understand what's going on, so it's an even playing field in that regard. So, look, we're out there trying to pay attention and stay relevant. That's where, and we've done it for, 28 years now.
So you think, like, the interaction with the fans is more important now more than ever, considering that?
Yeah, I think so, because you have instant communication now. I mean, around the turn of the century, around 2000, you could really see something change, because in the old days, you know, movies took weeks to go across the country.
Yeah.
People didn't get the information on what the movie was like. So that's why movie stars were so important. So if Cary Grant, this is before my dad, but if Cary Grant was, movie came in, people would use that as the barometer whether they wanted to go to that movie or not, because they know they like Cary Grant, the odds are they'd like the movie. These days, that all stopped. You saw all the stars around 2000 that have been big box office stars literally fall off the map, because with the advent of social media, movie opens in New York at 10 o'clock, and by 11 o'clock on the West Coast, people are telling each other whether to go see that movie or not. So it's changed the whole landscape. Big stars aren't as big anymore. There's very few stars that can draw an audience. And even the ones that we think can, look recently at the biggest stars. They've all been flopping. So it's got to be a good film.
Now, how do you think that changes comics? Just because, you know, in the 90s there was a big boom where people were selling millions of comics, but now you have different avenues. You have, you know, digital comics, you have trades and stuff like that. So how does that change?
Well, digital certainly gets comics in front of people. People were trying to say a couple years ago that digital was going to kill printed comics, and of course we've seen that in just the opposite has happened. As digital has risen, so have print sales. Reason for that is you know, when I was a kid, comics were everywhere. You know, in the drugstore, the grocery store, the supermarket, the bus station, the airports, everywhere you look, there were comic books, spin racks. I used to say, hey kids, comics on the top. That disappeared over the last several decades. And now, suddenly, digital puts comics, every kid's on their whatever device they're carrying around. And now comics are there. And they look. And I think it brings a certain percentage of those people into the market trying to pick up these things. Because, you know, as you know, when I was a kid, you had very few things to do with your dollar.
Yeah.
There's a famous, and it might be apocryphal, story about Mad Magazine, who's in like the space of a couple months, circulation fell in half in the early 80s. Tried to figure out what that was. Well, suddenly it dawned on him. When I was a kid, you had your quarter or your 50 cents. You didn't really have that much to do with it. When the video game, so you'd see a Mad Magazine, you'd plop it down. When video games came out, you know, original ones, Space Invaders and Asteroid. Kid walks by with his quarters, and they immediately went into the machines.
Yeah.
And Mad Magazine lost out all those quarters that they were getting before. Now, multiply that by exponentially, there's so many things for a kid to spend his money on other than comic books, video games,
whatever.
Movies, you can buy, bring your movies, favorite movies home, your phone, everything. It's this huge competition for entertainment dollars. And so comics have to get in that space and be, again, you can't just put material out. You have to get out there, and because of the social media, if it's not good, word gets out fast. So you gotta make good comics.
Do you think that makes, you know, making stories that matter a little more relevant?
I think so.
Because they have to have that attachment to keep coming back. You know, kids can just, if this week, this month's issue is not that great, it might not, you know.
Yeah, well, it's two things, because the younger you are, the more you're going to be influenced by the social media. The younger you are, the more likely you are to be influenced by trends. It's just the way it is. I think there's another thing, too. You know, we've seen the sales of the floppies, the traditional comic book, go down, and I think that's because the average comic book buyer now is not a kid. He's 25, 26 years old. So, if you think about it, a comic book, for a long time, many of the comics were sold were to collectors, because they were hoping they'd be worth something. I think that part of the market is pretty much gone these days. But if you're 25 years old, maybe even if you're 21 years old, it often seems that I think that people, after a certain age, would rather have a book on a shelf than a floppy in a box somewhere. And it's always easier to read a book, a graphic novel, than it is to think of if you're watching a television story and you get 10 minutes, 30 days apart over the course of a year. It's not a very good way to watch it. It's not a very good way to read a story either. So I think a lot of people now are waiting for the graphic novels, and that is part of the explanation why graphic novel sales have risen so much in the bookstores, not the comic shops.
That's what I was talking about with trades and stuff like that. It changes a bit. Does that change the way stories are written in comics? Just, you know, the form of thinking, just like, all right, we got to look at it as a whole, like a whole arc.
I think that it's definitely a factor. I think that some floppies, some of the traditional comic books are written to be serialized, but I think that, particularly with creator-owned material, they're thinking of the whole story.
Yeah.
And think that it's just a different place than it was. Like I said a few minutes ago, the market's different, the culture's different, and the delivery systems are different.
Do you want to expand in terms of different forms of media with Dark Horse properties, or in terms of like video games?
Well, we've been working with video game companies almost from the beginning. One of the earliest Aliens game I actually wrote for a company. That was clear back late 80s or early 90s. We're working. You can see all the video game related material that we have. As far as film, you know, we have a division, Dark Horse Entertainment. We produce 28 films and television series. So, including. We even won an Emmy, if you can see it.
How did that feel, you know?
It's great. I really had to go to the men's room, so that's what I was thinking when I was accepting my award.
Did you ever feel like you win, like getting into comics, you'd be able to touch on so many different worlds of entertainment, just like video games and stuff like that?
You know, I just did it. I didn't really think that much about it. I just did it. I grew up in Milwaukee, Oregon, which is farm country, and I didn't know anyone in any big city, much less the entertainment industry. I just did things. I created content, I started companies, and just kept pushing forward. So you're 21 years old, so you got a lot of time to do all that. I think it's very exciting to start your own business. I really think at 21, you're ahead of me. If I had to do it over, I would have probably started my business about 5 or 6 years earlier. I was playing basketball and
doing yoga.
doing other stuff. Yeah.
And what advice would you give anyone who's trying to start, not just the comics, just trying to find their own voice and, you know, start their own company at a very young age?
I would say I didn't have any money, and so I traded a period of my life. In exchange, I was working 18-hour days and willing to make every customer I had a good customer, a permanent customer. I worked really hard, and I wasn't afraid to try things other people weren't trying. I think that you have to really stay in touch with the market that you want to be in. If it's in the comics industry, you really have to read the books and meet the people and really stay on top of things. We did all kinds of things that weren't really being done in retail at the time and made our stores very successful against our competition. And I think you just have to, if you take pleasure in it, if you're really positive, if you can think around problems, don't get stuck by problems, don't be afraid to change the direction of what you're doing, to keep moving forward. I always see your path is like a river, and a lot of people hit a rock in the river and they keep bouncing against that rock. You got to figure out how to move around it, and you may have to change directions a little bit to do that. So just work hard, be smart, stick to your idea, but be open to